We're on. Jeff Clark and Tim Hardesman here. We're going to talk about the girls' state tournament at Coos Bay in North Bend. And we'll give this a shot and see how it goes. So we're live. I doubt anybody will know that we're live. They'll get an alert saying there's something going on, but they probably won't believe it. And then we'll post it later so people can check it out. So we're going to kind of run down the bracket that is set for the girls' 3A tournament. And we're going to start looking at the one seed versus the eight seed. That's Corbett versus Westside Christian. So Corbett, we saw earlier this year. We'll come back to them in a second. Does Westside have a chance against Corbett, Tim?
I mean, generally speaking, I say no. But, you know, they've got some pretty good athletes and some good defensive players, you know, and they just beat Jefferson last week and held Orton to 13 points. So, you know, if they can figure out a defensive scheme, I think they have more athletes than Corbett does. Corbett's, I just think, are better. So I don't see them beating Corbett. But
so Westside went 20-5 this year. They took a 12-point loss to Sutherland. they lost to Philomath and Marshfield, a couple of 4A schools. They lost to Valley Catholic by 5, which seems like a bad loss.
Yes, and that's kind of the hard thing to figure out with them is they've got some of those, you know, maybe a little up and down. As far as the whole season goes, I'd say they come from, I mean, they're their conference champions, or they're the lowest ranked conference champion. You know, I think they finished like number 10 and then bumped up to 8 to get that home game. So
Right. Okay, so let's move on from them to Corbett. Corbett we know pretty well. Played them earlier this year, played them in, was that the first game of the year, second game of the year?
I think it was our fourth. It was right after you came back.
Yeah, you're right, fourth game. Yeah, so it went Pleasant Hill, North Douglas, Sutherland, Corbett, right? Yeah. So Corbett lost in the state title game last year to Banks, which was a little bit of an upset, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I thought Corbett would win that game.
This year, so they return Allie Schimmel, who... So if you were ranking, like if you were going to pick a first team All-State going into the tournament,
yeah,
based on what you've seen this year, last year, kind of what you know, would she be on that five?
Absolutely.
And why is that? What is it about her that puts her in that kind of top five players?
She's probably one of the best, if not the best basketball player in 3A, and a great shooter, maybe the best shooter. I mean, and she'll hit from, you know, 8 feet beyond the line and doesn't need time to shoot it. And her basketball IQ is through the charts, I mean, off the charts, just an all-around good basketball player. Really hard to find a weakness in her game.
She's going to have the ball in her hands a lot.
Yes.
Against anybody. When we played them, we trapped her quite a bit, I think. Got the ball out of her hands, especially in that fourth quarter. And then she was able to get the ball up the floor and to her sister.
Yes.
Who killed us with a couple of threes and a two, I think, from that left side, if I remember right.
Yeah.
That sound about right?
Well, absolutely. I rewatched that this morning. So
that hurts.
It does, but it's also very telling. Just a couple adjustments we can make to take those away and have a little better rotation, because we were in our 1-3-1, you know, when that happened. And they don't use the middle. So we have to kind of adjust in that sense. And
yeah, you've got people defending areas that don't need to be defended.
Right. So we'll work on that. And, you know, if we get to see them again and be ready to go for that.
Well, if we do see them again, it's for a state title, probably.
Yes.
More than likely, which would be a good problem to have.
Absolutely.
They also have Lily Schimmel, who is not as dominant of a player as her sister, but is a very good spot-up shooter.
She is, and she's the one that hit those two threes in the fourth quarter we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, because she got free, and we obviously overplay on Allie, which you have to do anyway. You just have to have a better rotation and get back to Lily as well.
And then they have Howledge. Am I saying that? Howledge?
I'm not sure. Howledge, I think.
Howledge, who's also a senior, the same as Allie Schimmel. And she can handle the ball. Not quite the same outside shooter. She likes to take it in the paint more, right?
She does. She's good at it. She can hit the step back. She's got a behind-the-back step back on us last time.
Was that against us that she – was that the girl that hit the two little floaters going right to left across the lane?
Yes.
I was really impressed with that.
Yeah, two of the toughest shots I've seen hit all year.
And she hit them. And you can tell she works on that shot.
Right, absolutely.
Like, she was right-hand side of the key, kind of cutting laterally, a little bit diagonally across it, and then just kind of floats to her left and drops that. The defense doesn't react to that because they've never seen it.
Right.
Well, and nobody shoots that in girls basketball.
Yeah, she hit one where she was driving. Essentially, it looked like she's going out of bounds on purpose, but she knew exactly what she was doing and went behind her back to her left, stepped back, and hit it. And it's like, well, if you're going to make that, then, you know, good for you because it was a great shot.
So should we see them again? What are kind of the primary objectives in how you defend them?
There's probably trying to run them off the three-point line because that's what they want to do. You know, they're shooting threes at a high rate, making a lot of them as well. But we're probably trying to limit that, run them off, try to get them shooting some mid-range shots and that.
Get them into a little bit of a broken offensive play a little bit where they have to improvise a little.
Yeah. So, and I think, and they're capable of that. You know, Ella is very good point guard. I actually thought watching them at State at times, she was their best player. She just doesn't hit us the threes at the high rate that Allie does.
Well, and in our game against them earlier this year, she was the one I thought we had the hardest time defending.
Yeah, and she's just got better ball handling skills than Allie, for sure.
And she's very aggressive with her ball handling. It's a little bit like Orton from Jefferson. She recognizes when you're a little out of position and then attacks you hard.
Yeah, and then probably a little faster, you know.
But
those three players are three of the best in the state. I mean, you know, Lily doesn't get the attention that Allie and Ella do, but she's a great shooter.
She'll hurt you.
So when the other two get as much of attention, she's getting open shots, and it's a good combo.
So after that, though, they don't have a lot of depth.
No, that's it.
Really. It really drops off, even in their starting lineup.
I think they only have 8 girls total on their team. And yeah, those three, there's always a couple out there that you can try to take advantage of or help off of defensively to try to help on these three.
All right. Let's move on to the matchup that I really am not sure what to think about. This is the one I was most indecisive as I looked at, and that's Banks and Vail. I wasn't particularly impressed with Banks. They're the 5 seed when we played them. I mean, they're physical, but it's kind of ratty. It wasn't the highest skill level of basketball that we saw this year. And that was, just for reference sakes, that was a 55-43 Amity win at home. And it could have been a lot more than that.
Yeah, I agree with what you said. I mean, we were up 20 with a minute to go. And they outscored us 8-0. So there's definitely a score closer than it was. I think a lot of that rattiness probably came from our pressure. Obviously, we do that to a lot of people, but
they're not the most skilled offensive team.
Correct.
Last year, they won a state title because they just crushed them on the boards. They just destroyed Corbett inside the key.
Yeah,
and Schimmel couldn't hit the broadside of the barn in that game. Yes. Right,
and I think they lost 4, maybe even 5 players from that team last year. You know, this team comes in, I definitely think they're better today than they were when we saw them. They've got the Janicek girl, who's pretty solid all-around player.
Good athlete. Works hard on both ends of the floor.
Yeah. And then they've got a number one, Malis Crowell, if I say that right.
Yeah.
Pretty good shooter. I've seen her hit a lot of threes. She hit some against us. I watched their game against Corbett, and I think she hit 5. You know, so she's a really good shooter. And I just think they come in because of last year with a lot of confidence, you know, girls that have played in meaningful games. So they're not scared. And I think that's goes a long way in a basketball game.
Absolutely. Vail, I know nothing about, but they're 23-2, they haven't lost a game since the 2nd of January against LeGrand. The only other loss they have is Weezer, Idaho, which I know nothing about either. So they lost to a 4A school and a school from out of state. And other than that, they just kind of rolled through their league. And they appear to be a dominant defensive team.
Yes, I think that's where they hang their hat, definitely on the defensive end. I think number 31, Casey Jacobs, is a lockdown defender. I think she does a great job.
And she's a senior. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And saw her play down at Sam Christian last year in the 12-5 game. And she did a heck of a job on Yost and those girls and, you know, and really causes a lot of problems. And I think that's where their whole game plan starts, is on the offense or on the defensive side of the ball. I haven't seen a ton of them either. We've got some film from them when they played NISA, that actually Jed and Carl watch more of that than me. We kind of watch everything and then talk to each other and try to figure it out. But defense, I think, is their big thing. I do think they struggle a little bit offensively. You know, so if we were to match up with them, we could hopefully cause them some problems on that side of the ball. But
yeah, when I look at their defensive average, scoring average is unbelievable. In their league, which started on the 5th of January, so they went, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. That can't be right. They must have had a non-league game in there. Baker was a non-league. So they went 12-0 in their league, including NISA, who we're going to play. They beat NISA 64-53 and 41-26. That 53 was the most points anybody scored on them all year except for their loss to Weezer, Idaho. Nobody else broke 40 in league. And only a couple of times did teams get to 31, 33. They had a couple of league games. They had four league games below 20 points on the defensive side.
Yeah, and that's impressive no matter who you're
playing. I mean, because if you're blowing somebody out, usually the fourth quarter ends up making it look like it's a closer game than it was. I mean, we had games against teams where, you know, your starters are sitting. They look like they've got a lot of players on their roster. So I'm assuming in those games, but they're still playing defense.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what they do. Very good man-to-man defense. So
it'll be interesting. Yeah. So do you have a prediction in this game from what you've seen? I know you don't know a lot about Vail.
I think Vail wins. I think defense prevails in that one. I don't think Banks is good enough offensively to overcome Vail's defense.
I see that being I assume Vail being as good defensively as they are, they're very physical, especially if they play a lot of man-to-man.
Yeah,
you have to be. Which means this could be the most physical, bruising game because Banks will mix it up with you physically. They're going to like that style.
Yep.
I can see this game being like a 38-32 game, 38-35.
That might even be high.
It might be. It could be a really ugly game offensively to watch. So so we'll see on that one. Okay, let's move on. We've got Creswell and Sutherland. So Sutherland, the 2 seed, Creswell, the 7 seed. We know Sutherland pretty well.
Yeah, we've seen them quite a few times in the last couple of years now, including earlier this year when we went down to their tournament.
Which means you know Coach Grotting pretty well. You know what he wants to do. And what is that? How does he come after Amity?
He likes to pressure us. This year it's a 2-3 zone that he really pushes the top up, pressures us pretty hard there. You know, last year it was more of a full court man-to-man pressure.
But we played them twice last year, right?
We did.
Once during the regular season, once in the tournament. And in both of those games, their best player got in foul trouble.
Yeah, we played them at home in the preseason, then we played them at the Salem Academy.
Oh, that's where it was, yeah.
Both of them, I think Wicks had 3 fouls
early
here in the first half, and then at Salem Academy, I think he left her in and she picked up her 4th foul.
First half, yeah.
You know, just right. Because she's what makes them go, so he kind of had to. But, you know, they're a big team. They create matchup problems for us in that sense. But if you flip it around, I think we create matchup problems for them because of our speed.
And they don't have a lot of guard scoring now. They're really relying on high-low, post-action, cutters to the basket. And half court, kind of a slow down game. They don't run that much anymore, do they?
No, they don't. And they don't press. They just get back and run. You know, they pressure the 2-3, but they get set and then pressure out of that. They don't pick up full court. And Paige is a good point guard, does a good job running.
She doesn't want to shoot, though.
But she doesn't want to shoot the ball.
Yeah, defensively, she's a good defender.
Absolutely.
She gets after you. She's a good soccer player. She moves well and is, you can't wear her out.
Player of the year in soccer this year.
Was she?
Yep. Very good.
In their conference?
In the state.
Really? I did not know that. That's saying something because we saw some pretty good players up there at Catlin Gable. Maybe they just have more balance, right? But yeah, Sutherland's a good soccer program. They have been for a few years. And so they do have some real good athletes. And then they've got a lot of length. Like you said, they list at 6 foot, 6'1", 6'1", all of them non-seniors. And then a 5'11 senior in Vermilion. They're not... I was unimpressed with the interior post moves early in the season.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like any of them really had a great plan for how to attack once they had the ball in their hands if it wasn't a lay-in.
Right. And I think they're a little better at that now. I think some of that might have been their style of play the last couple of years with Wicks. You know, it was more about what she was doing, and then they just kind of pick up the pieces or, you know, get some layups from them.
Is it possible they're a better team now than they were last year at this time?
Definitely, I think, a harder team to defend because they're more capable at more spots, you know. And I mean, not that they weren't capable, actually, they just didn't do it.
Foul trouble is not a big issue for them now.
No. I mean, they're not deep. Their starting five is good. They have a girl, Gary, number three, that comes off the bench, who I think is solid as well. But really, they're not much past their top five. But
how many teams are?
Yeah.
We're talking about Corbett really being three and a little bit. And, right. You know, especially offensively. I mean, Some teams can throw out a bunch of defenders. But when you talk about teams, girls that can actually be a problem for you on the offensive end, they're probably starting more often than not.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then when you play that 2-3 zone and you're long, you don't put yourself at risk that often for foul trouble.
Which is why Jefferson was able to stay out a lot of foul trouble against us too, right?
Yeah.
Orton was able to, she's hard to find her, hard to get in trouble.
And they play a lot of man, even though it doesn't look like it. They just, if you cut through, they stop in the key. You know, and they just don't go with you. Yeah. And because they know what they had to take away from us.
Yeah.
And once we started hitting shots, and that changed that whole ball game.
So Tim starts to glow when he thinks about that.
Yeah.
Hitting shots. It's good. Okay. So Crestwall comes in 20-7, Sutherland 24-2. Sutherland, by the way, two losses, one to us by 6 points on their home floor, second game of the year. You don't put too much stock in that, but it's nice to have that experience. And then they lost a game to Western Christian, which is a non-league game. Western Christian was pretty good this year.
Yeah, yeah. I've never watched them play. But
didn't they get like a couple of Salem Academy transfers, right?
Four of them, I believe.
Yeah, that's not a bad influx.
Yeah.
Salem Academy was terrible this year now. So Crestwell, like I said, 20-7, kind of ran their league pretty well. They did lose a game to Pleasant Hill, who lost to Nyssa in the second round of the state playoffs here. That was the one. Yeah, Nyssa held them to 22 points.
Right.
We'll talk about that here in a second, but my goodness. You talk about ugly offensive games. So other than that, they've been playing well for a while. Right. I mean,
yeah. And Crestwell is honestly the team I know the least about of all these teams that are there. Haven't seen them play. You know, they lost to Jefferson early on in the year by 7.
Lost to Western Christian by 8.
Yeah. They have decent size, you know, so I'm kind of curious if that they can use that, you know, to give Sutherland some problems. I don't see them beating Sutherland. I just wonder how long they can, you know, hang around or cause any problems with them.
Yeah, they lost twice to Pleasant Hill this year. Three times to Pleasant Hill. They also lost, like you mentioned, to Western Christian, to Jefferson. They lost a game to Coquille early in the year. So they have a resume that's kind of not super attractive for a team that's trying to win a state title.
Right, and they like Westside, won their last game, which bumped them up to get that home game.
Yeah.
So I think they beat Pleasant Hill, right, in their
league. Yes, playoffs. Yeah, they knocked Pleasant Hill out of the top eight that way.
It's funny, it actually ended up knocking Jefferson out because somehow on that last day, although we beat Jefferson and they beat Pleasant Hill, Pleasant Hill still jumped Jefferson, and then Jefferson ended up going down to 9, and that's why they had to go to Westside. So that
instead of playing Nyssa.
Yeah. So, which is a big difference. I think Westside gave some problems. I think Jefferson can beat Nyssa. So,
interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole rating system is kind of a little funky there.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's talk about the game that matters.
Yes.
Amity, the 3 seed against Nyssa, the 11 seed. The last time I saw, I guess our Amity boys were a 10 seed when they took second at state. That's kind of the last time I remember one of the non-top eight teams really doing well at state. Doesn't happen very often. It really doesn't happen in girls basketball very often, because usually that discrepancy between the top 4 or 5 teams and the next 5, 6, 7 teams is pretty significant. especially in guard play.
Yes, I agree. I think last year was an exception to that. I think there were 8 teams down there that all thought they had a chance. I don't quite see it that deep this year.
Yeah. So NISA 18-9 overall, not a very impressive record, 8-2 in their league. Like we mentioned a minute ago, they beat Pleasant Hill 33-22, which is just a really weird score for a state playoff game.
Yeah, and I watched a lot of that game as it was going on, and I mean, it wasn't pretty, for lack of a better term, or just struggled offensively. Both sides did. I don't necessarily think it was because of great defense on either side. I just think the offense has struggled that day, you know, whether it's nerves or whatever,
right?
Playoff basketball, I don't know. But, you know, we, on the other hand, we saw NISA at the
early in the
Salem
year.
Academy yeah. tournament, and in the third quarter, they got hot and, you know, rallied on us. And I think we were up 20 and they got it down to about 3, I believe.
So let's go backwards into that game. How did we get up 20 against them?
We were pressuring them pretty good first half, doing our 1-3-1 like we do.
Guard play's not great.
Not the greatest. You know, they do have decent guards, but not the speed that we have. They got one that's a really good shooter who got hot in that third quarter. And then they got the twin girls that are pretty good as well and experienced. I don't remember.
Arizmendi?
Yeah.
Clarita and Clarissa. I'm going to have fun with that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I couldn't tell you which one's which. But I think number 10, whatever one that is, I feel like is the better shooter of the two. And then 20 plays a little more inside. But in the second half, we went in zone on them and they got hot in the third quarter specifically. And then we switched it up and went man in the fourth quarter and played. At that point of the season, we thought some of our best man-to-man defense, which we were very happy about, and came away with I didn't remember what we won by.
So without giving anything away, as you're coming into that game then, are you thinking, you know, multiple looks on the defensive side, or do you have something in mind without saying what it is? You have something in mind that you guys really want to hang your hat on in this game?
Just really, I mean, playing our basketball, our style, and our pace, I think, is what we really want to get out of it. We'll show them both and see which one frustrates them most, you know, and then kind of, but I think you'll see both sides of the zone and the man.
So the game against, I just lost it, Horizon, sat in zone the whole game.
We did, and that one, honestly, we did decide probably the night before exactly how we wanted to attack her, you know, going back and forth.
She showed in the fourth quarter, and she meaning
number 4.
What's her last name? I can't think of it now. But
Dunkel or something like that, is that right?
She showed the fourth quarter why you needed to be up on her. Because our second string didn't really get up on her, and she just started busting threes left and right.
Right, she did, and she tried early. I mean, she had 7 points through 3 quarters, and she's a phenomenal player.
Yeah.
And then she ended with 18, so she got 11 in that fourth quarter, you know, kind of the garbage time, so to speak. But we just really decided to go with the 1-3-1 because that's what we like. You know,
right.
Our girls – love it, you know, and just to be in that open, wide.
Well, and it allows Eliza especially.
Yeah.
She loves it when the ball goes away from her.
Yes.
Because then you just almost see it in her, like, it's coming, it's coming. Yeah. I'm getting a pick, you know, and any kind of weak pass, or what I love that she does, and it's a high risk, high reward play, is she comes diving in as a player tries to spin away from Alyssa or something.
Yep.
They try to turn away from Alyssa towards Eliza's side, and here comes Eliza like a bolt of lightning. The problem is that a lot of times she cuts that really close with her shoulder.
Right, yeah.
And picks up a foul sometimes. But
when
she gets it, it's 2 points because nobody even flinches, and she's past half court with the ball.
Right, and it's pretty to watch, right?
It's beautiful.
And she's laying it in, like you said, before they even know what's going on.
Right.
You know, and then Alyssa does such a great job up top of getting the ball where we want it.
Right.
And then Sarah on the backside.
And that's what a lot of people, maybe casual basketball fans who love watching the game, but maybe don't understand what's exactly is being asked of a player defensively.
Right.
In a 1-3-1, there's some really specific roles that you're asking, more so than even a 2-3 or something like that.
Yep.
Things you're trying to accomplish, certain players you're trying to get into certain situations where you can double them or force them to have to be the initiator of the offense when that's not who the other coach wants. I mean, there are all kinds of stuff going on. It's not just about like trying to take the ball from the person who has it.
Right. Absolutely. And that's, we preach that to the girls, that most likely the steal is going to come from off the ball. You know, you're just trying to create havoc, make bad.
And that top of that 1-3-1 is really where that triggers in getting them into a position where they have to make a pass they don't want to make.
Right.
A high risk pass.
Without much time to think about it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And the shot clock helps you a little bit in that, because there are times I see body language, boys and girls, when that shot clock gets under 10, they start to panic. It's amazing. Like 10 seconds is a long time. You watch the NBA, it's like they're inbounding the ball with 2.5. They're going to run a play, right?
Right.
High school kids are getting under 10 seconds and they're panicking. Like, I got to get a shot off or I got to do something right now. And it's like, and we're seeing a lot of bad passes once you can get that shot clock under 10.
Yeah. And I think another factor from the shot clock that I never thought about was the 10-second call, because it seems to be getting called a lot more and quicker because there's a clock running. Everybody in the gym knows when it's 10 seconds now, right? So the ref could before do 12 or 13. If they
can have a slow count, right, or forget to count.
The first couple we got this year, we'd look at each other and like, man, that was fast, you know?
Right.
So I think that's hurrying people up too. Same thing like
if you get a couple calls against you like that, you'll panic a little, right? You'll feel like at about 7 seconds, like it's been 10 and you got to throw the ball.
Right. So if you're pressuring them and you do that for the first 10 seconds and they panic in the last 10 seconds, they've only got 25 seconds of time to try to figure out what they want to do.
Well, 15.
If they can. Yeah. So 15. If they can do it that long.
Right.
Which is hard.
Which is hard against our defense for sure. Who have you been really impressed with in terms of their growth this year on our team?
On our team? I mean, honestly, the entire team. You know, I'm not going to totally dodge your question, but I've watched in the last three games, or the last 2 days, I've watched our Nyssa game, our Sutherland game, and our Corbett game. And
big difference.
We don't even look like the same team.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought back then we were playing well.
Yeah, we were playing good.
You know, it's not like we weren't good, but I mean, the growth, the mental growth on our team across the board, as far as just being able to make mistakes and roll through it to the next play and not just lose our head, you know, and maybe the entire game has been phenomenal. But really, I'd say all of us, I mean, if I had to pick, you know, one or two, 80, probably the most from day one till now, just as far as being in that right space and playing defense and
becoming your most consistent 3-point shooter the second half of the year.
Yeah, and that's something, you know, that she for a while wouldn't take that shot, you know, and talking to her, you know, just like, you got to be a willing shooter. It's not about making them. It's about keeping the defense honest.
Right.
And she's good enough to make them, you know. So if we could get her to shoot it, we know she's going to make some, you know, and she's done that for sure.
Where I've seen, and I don't know if this is, again, I guess it's dodging my own question a little bit, but it seems to me that I guess I would lump Sarah Lynn and Eliza especially together, and then to a lesser extent, 80, just being smarter about staying out of foul trouble, big foul trouble, mm-hmm. right? Still a little bit here and there, but Sarah Lynn especially, compared to last year.
Yeah, for sure.
Rarely in foul trouble this year, right. Early in the game. Right.
Yeah, she's done a really good job, and all three of them have the knack, and it's because they all think they can make every play, you know, which makes them all special at the same time. They're doing a better job of knowing when just to lay off and play defense and when to take that chance. And
some of that is just that maturity of realizing that I don't have to get a steal as long as we're playing good defense as a team. We're getting what we want. Give my teammates a chance to get set. We'll create something. Picking those spots a little bit better. Sarah Lynn last year wanted to steal everything from the bottom of that 1-3-1.
Yeah. and then getting them to reach with the correct hand, which exactly. we talk a lot about, yeah. and you know, we joke about it a lot. You know, when someone does it, they'll look at me like, "Did you see that?"
Well, how many times from the bench have you guys been like,
"Yeah,
offhand"? Yeah. So, if you don't know what we're talking about, when you go to kind of reach into the passing lane, you have a choice. You can use your arm, your hand that's the near arm to the player, or the far arm. And when you use the far arm, you can kind of turn your close shoulder a little bit, cover more of the passing lane, but also keep that contact away. When you use the near arm, if they reach for that ball, they end up making contact with your shoulder, your arm, and it's a foul on you as a defender. And it's an easy call for the official because it's bad positioning.
Right, and you're still in position to
recover.
To recover and right. get back if you do it correctly.
It's amazing when you can get kids, it doesn't matter if it's boys or girls. I mean, I coached a lot of boys high school basketball. And when you can get kids to understand the technical side of playing defense, that it's your footwork, your body position, your center of balance, where you are, and all of those things start to come together with, you know, keeping yourself in a good position all the time to be effective, to make it hard for the offensive player, but still not to open yourself up to get burned.
Right.
And there's so many things that a casual fan may not notice that somebody's doing that makes them a good defender. Because sometimes your best defenders aren't going to lead your team in steals or anything right. else. It's about what they took away from the offense. They forced the offense to do something different than what they want to do. And I think maybe the most classic example of bad defense was the Warrington boys allowing JJ to go to his left hand over and over again.
Right.
It's like, you know, just the footwork. You're not going to recover if somebody has a tendency one way and they're really good with that side. You know, you can't play them straight up. You're going to be in foul trouble or giving them baskets all game. Right. And so it's the subtle thing, right? It's you shade a little bit one way or another, understand it. And then yeah. it doesn't show up as anything because the kid never attacked you because he couldn't.
Right. Right? Absolutely. Or she couldn't. And I think on our team, I think Maya's the one that really gets that. You know, if you watch her play defense, she's just where she's supposed to be all the time. Yep. Doesn't foul doing it.
Yep.
And just makes life hard on their ball handler.
Right. So their ball handler may not be turning the ball over directly with Maya,
right.
but she's having to give it up when she doesn't want to give it up or yep. make a, or go a different direction with the dribble yep. or something. Your offense just all of a sudden isn't running. The timing's off. And it's little things, yep. you know, and I know you guys as coaches are looking at that and preaching that. And it's kind of fun to have a group of girls that were playing varsity at such a young age. They really get a chance to develop that higher level intellectual understanding of the defensive end of the game,
mm-hmm.
which is much more unintuitive, I think, for yeah. a lot of kids, especially kids who are good athletes. When they're young, they get away with all kinds of bad footwork and bad decisions. And then as you get better, you get to state, you can't do that.
Yeah. And a lot of those things, I think, also you learn from watching the game. And maybe some of these girls growing up, you don't watch as much basketball as, say, I did when I was little.
Yeah.
Like, that's all I ever did. You know, so it takes a little while longer to learn those things on defense. But they're getting it for sure.
It's amazing how much I learned when I was – I'm a little bit older than you.
Just a little.
When I was in high school, freshman, sophomore year, my freshman year, I think, the ESPN got the Big East contract. And this was Big East basketball with Chris Mullin at St. John's and Patrick Ewing at Georgetown, and Villanova was good, and Connecticut was good, on down the list. Like, they were just loaded with all this
future. This sounds like the 80s, like when I was born.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be what. and the but Dick Vitale, who I'd never heard of before, got a job with ESPN as their color commentator, their analyst. And he would get so excited about talking about positioning and angles and why a play worked or how a defense disrupted a play. And it was like being in a clinic every game, right? It was just like he just got so excited and would just like talk ad nauseum about the strategy and about the technique and that stuff. And it was like, I learned more from listening to him than I ever learned from any coach I ever had, because you're just sitting there absorbing it.
Yeah.
And I think that, yeah, that is missing from our current kid culture. They don't watch a lot of basketball.
Yeah, and I think you're right. You know, if your coach tells you that at practice and you go home and see it on TV, that's what he was talking about. Yeah. You know, that's just how you connect the dots and put it all together, because it doesn't always make sense when you see it from the angle of being on
right.
the floor.
Right. Yeah. When you can step back, see kind of that bird's eye view, and then having somebody explain in slow motion kind of why it worked.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I think Jay Billis does that very well. If people would just watch any game Jay Billis is doing, yeah. I know you don't like Duke guys, but he's really good at explaining what's going on in the game, right? Yeah. It's not just hype when he talks. He's not just fluff. He's getting into the nitty gritty about why it works, why somebody's a good player.
Yeah, no, he's very good. I do enjoy watching him, even though he's a Dukey.
Well, he looks a lot like you. He's a little taller, but he's got that same, you know, general head, no hair on top going on. Uh-huh. So, you know, it's not the end of the world, Tim. You'll be okay. Because Jay's a good role model for you. All right, so we'll kind of leave it there. I think excited to see what the girls do going down there. They're going to play Nyssa at 6:30 on Thursday, and that'll be at Marshfield High School, which is exciting for the girls. They don't have to start North Bend this year.
Yes, yeah, we prefer to play there.
Because you should play all three of your games there now.
That's the plan.
Yeah, that would be the plan. So if they win, they play again in North. In Marshfield. If you lose, you have to go over to North Bend and play early. I don't want to do that. So, any predictions on the boys' side real quick?
Well, I mean, Cascade Christian, I think, is probably
the prohibitive favorite.
The best team over there. I don't follow the boys' side as closely.
So you're saying the sixth seed is the favorite?
Yes, and they were the sixth seed last year as well. So I think
that's what happens when you play nothing but 5A and 6A schools pre-league.
Correct.
And that doesn't affect your RPI, right? Or your quality?
Your quality, I think, is the one it doesn't affect. So, you know,
they didn't have a rating like 8 games into the season. They were unranked.
Right.
Because they had no games against 3A, 4A, or 2A schools.
Yeah. And then their league's not that good either. So that didn't really help them out when they did start playing.
So, you know, they petitioned to play 5A.
Yeah.
And OSAA said, no, you have to do all sports or none.
Yeah.
Which OSAA won't hear this anyway. That's a stupid rule at the OSAA level.
I agree. I'm all for teams. If you want to play up, play
exactly. Up is great.
I don't agree with letting people play down, no. Which happens. But if you want to challenge yourself, then it doesn't hurt anybody other than yourself if it doesn't work.
Right.
You know.
And I'm sure Cascade Christian with, you know, this is a tension for them a little bit, because it's like, if we want to keep getting good players, we need to play good competition, because right. A lot of these players have aspirations of playing beyond, especially your 7-footer. The kid they had last year is not there this year. You know, he left.
Yeah, he went to Arizona guard. Or somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. He was the best player on the floor.
Yeah.
I thought he was the best player on the state last year. It's phenomenal. 6'5" point guard.
I believe they brought in a new freshman point guard that's supposed to be very good as well.
It'll be fun to watch.
Yeah.
So we'll try to catch a little boys action down there. So anyway, if you're listening to this, hope you enjoy it. A little preview of the state tournament, and go Warriors. Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks.